So he's not tempted at the beginning because he was strong at the beginning. He's tempted at the end because that's when he's weak. And that's when Satan will tempt us, when we're weak. And he knows our weaknesses. He cannot read our thoughts, but he knows our thought patterns because he observes us throughout our lives. He knows our habits. He knows our tendencies. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He also cannot predict the future. He doesn't know the future, but he can kind of guess at it because he knows us so well. He's always observing. And so he knows, I can't get to Jesus at the beginning. He's too strong. But now he's weak, 40 days. He's hungry. He's weak. Know when you're weak. Know when you're weak. Know what your weaknesses are. We are all weak when we're tired, when we're under stress, when we are worried or anxious, when we are sick, or when we're sad. When we're sad, now we're weak. And he knows that. He knows that. And so know when you're weak. And know when you personally know what your personal strengths and weaknesses are. If you struggle with pornography, then you need to know this is when I'm tempted to fall to that. So number one, I've got to put a block on my computer and on my cell phone. I've got to block those things if that's a temptation, if I'm weak in that area. And I can't have my computer hiding in my room. My computer has to be out in the living room. And when I know I could fall, I need to make plans to do something else. I need to call a friend. I need to, you know, go play some tennis, go exercise. I need to be doing something else. I have to have a strategy if I'm weak in that area. If food is your weakness, you know, well, I know one mother, she said, I don't like it. My kids just keep eating the chips and the cookies and stuff. And so she just took those out of the kitchen and she cut up celery and carrots and pineapple and things like that. And the kids started eating that. So if food is your weakness, have a strategy for that. Gossip, if gossip is a struggle for you, or maybe you have a friend for whom gossip is a struggle, because sometimes gossip is not an issue for you, but some of your friends it might be an issue. And then you get around them and you start gossiping because you're out to lunch or something. So what you have to do is have a strategy. Okay, Lord, if gossip is a problem for me, I just need to be quiet. My cross is shutting my mouth. If I don't open my mouth, I can't gossip. I can't sin in that way. So I won't open it. And that'll be a cross. Because I want to. And if you have a friend that gossips, then you have to pray, okay, Lord, I'm going out with my friend, going out to lunch, and they're going to start gossiping. But I'm not going to do that. Give me the grace not to do that. And then give me the grace to just change the conversation a little bit. Just soften it a little bit, but not participate in the negativity. And then I'll pray for my friend that my friend sees me not gossiping, and hopefully my friend will change. Will want to change. And if you have a friend that gossips and keeps drawing you into the gossip, maybe you need another friend. If you're not strong enough to avoid that sin, so you have to pray. We all have to pray. Last one I put down was anger. Anger. If anger is a problem, is a struggle for you, then you got to learn to stop before you react, right? Because you can't react. You have to stop. And then usually you have to take some deep breaths. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Say it faster than I say it, because you might need grace faster than we need it here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay, good. Now I feel like I'm not going to react so fast. So we need to know our weaknesses, because he's going to attack us when we're weak. Here he has Jesus now, and he tempts him in three ways. So now he says, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. In other words, satisfy your physical desires. Satisfy your immediate needs. And you and I, we do that all the time because in the United States, like instant gratification, right now. I want what I want right now because we have everything. And so that instant give me what I want right now, and that's the temptation. Live for yourself. Live for yourself and just live to satisfy your desires for yourself. In the moment, and tomorrow, and next week, you got your 5-year plan, your career plan, You're running the show, you're running your life, satisfying all of your desires, your dreams. That's the temptation, is to live for yourself. And Jesus says, no, you don't live by those things. You live for the Lord. You don't live by bread alone. Then he takes him up and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, I shall give you all this power and glory. And you and I are very much attracted to money and material things and glory. And we want to be up talking in front of the whole parish. And we want everybody admiring us, talking well of us. We want to compete with other people to be number one. I want to be the owner of the business. I don't want to be washing dishes in the back room. I want to be taller than you, better looking than you. It's a world of competition. That's what he's talking about. I'll offer you all of this, Jesus. You can be admired. You can be number one. And that's the temptation. The scary thing about this for me is when Satan says, I shall give this all to you, for it has been handed over to me. Wow. So when the angels rebelled, they didn't go to hell. They came here. They didn't go to Mars, or the moon, or the sun, or any other planet. They came here to do battle against you and me. Just against us. That's all he cares about. He's not fighting the animals. He's not fighting the sun. He's fighting us every moment of every day. And he fights us with the world. I can give you money. I can give you fun. You can be number one. You can have the glory. And he gets so many people all day long. And the saddest thing for me is I say, well, if I want those things that the world offers, I'm his servant, because he says, all of it belongs to me. Well, that means I belong to him if I serve those things. People don't realize that, how serious this is. That you can become his servant, the servant of the enemy of God, and not even know it. So be careful, be careful. Identify all of those false gods that the world offers, and know that it belongs to him. It's his kingdom, not Jesus' kingdom. So that's the second temptation. And Jesus, of course, doesn't follow it. So he says, Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God and have no false gods. And then lastly, he takes him to Jerusalem and up to the parapet, the peak of the temple. And he says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And it says, God will take care of you. In other words, put God to the test. Make God do your will. So throw yourself down, that's your will, and then make your Father do what you want. That's another thing we fall to. God, I want to live my life my way, and I want you to serve me. I don't want to serve you. You serve me. This is what I want, and I'm praying that you give it to me. Give me this, give me this, give me that throughout my life. Jesus says, no, I'm your God. You're not my God. You don't serve. You serve me. I don't serve you. You don't manipulate me. You accept me, and you let me be with you through your life, and you trust in the good times and the bad times. God is with me. He gets me through in the good times and the bad times. I don't try to manipulate him and make him do what I want. I think when people leave the church, a lot of times it's because they never had that relationship with the Lord, and then they tried to manipulate him, tried to expect him to do what they wanted, and he didn't do it. So then they say, okay, I'm gone. God wouldn't serve me. And Jesus, of course, he says, no. Jesus says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall love the Lord and you shall trust him. And then the devil finished the temptations and he departed from him. And then this is the kicker, for a time. He didn't leave Jesus. He doesn't leave us. Is Satan in this church? Yeah. Is he around your home? Yeah. Is he around your marriage? Yes. Is he around your children? Yes. Because he's all around. And he's trying to infiltrate and break everything apart. He's good at it, isn't he? And we're letting him do it. We're letting him do it. Break everything apart. See, he left Jesus for a time. And then he kept spying on Jesus. That's what he does. He kind of spies on us. You know, he reads us, he knows us, and then he spies on us. Ooh, I can get him. I can get him here. Ah. This man has a wandering eye. He doesn't keep his mind and his heart on his wife. And so I'm going to get a cute little thing hired at work where he works. And his eye's going to wander because I know him. That's how Satan does it. Manipulates things. And that's what he did against Jesus. He got the scribes and the Pharisees. I can get them against him, actually wanting to kill him. I can get the people of Nazareth, his hometown, to think he's crazy. I can even use Peter. Peter didn't even know that Satan was using him when Peter said, "No, Jesus, you can't go to Jerusalem and be killed." And Jesus says, "You don't understand. The enemy is using you. You don't understand that I need to go there." So that's kind of how the evil one works. What do we do? Well, number one, Jesus defeated Satan with truth. Are you in the truth? Do you know the truth? Are you in the Word of God? This is one thing that continues to make me so sad, is to know that so many Catholics, probably the majority of Catholics, don't read the Bible every day. How can we not read the Word of God every day? We're reading Facebook, we're reading something. I know we're reading because we can all read, right, kids? We're reading something. Why are we reading everything but the Word? We should be in the Word every day. Make that commitment this Lent. Go ahead and drink your cup of coffee and then read the Word. That would be better than giving up coffee and leaving the Bible up on the shelf somewhere. We have to fall in love with the Word and with the truth. In the scriptures and the catechism of our church, we have a divine opinion of God himself. We need to be studying our faith. We need to be in the Word to fall in love with the Lord of the Word. It's his Word. And so Jesus is in the truth. You got to be in the truth and know the truth so you can recognize that's a lie, that's a lie. Oh, that's truth. So you can know. Jesus knew. And then secondly, I would say, so know the truth, be in the truth. And then secondly, the best defense is a good offense, right? If you have a good offense, the defense takes care of itself. So wake up in the morning. No, go to sleep at night. Ah, thank you, Jesus. May every single one of my breaths and every single one of my heartbeats tonight be an I love you to you. And he'll take that. He'll take that. Your heart is beating. Your breath is breathing. That's the life he gave you. And your life is saying back to him, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like a child that's asleep in its mother's arms. That's prayer all night long. And then you wake up, so you go to sleep in the Lord. You probably won't have so many nightmares doing it that way. And then you wake up in the morning, morning, Lord, it's going to be a joy for me to keep you on my mind and my heart and to serve you in every single thing I do today. Consciously, I want to be thinking about you and giving you every single thing I do today. And I'm not going to let anything negative come into me. There's not going to be any gossip, no complaining, no judging, no cynicism. Nothing negative. I don't want anything negative because that's the enemy. That's our fallen human nature. And I don't want any of that. I want every word to be a word of service, a word of love, a word of encouragement. All my music is going to be pleasing to you. All my entertainment is going to be pleasing to you. Everything I look at, everything I do, all my values. I'm just going to align everything in you, Lord. It's all going to be in you. Scripture, study, prayer, worship. Lord, I'm going to give you half an hour to an hour every day. Every day. It's going to be hard at the beginning, but once I get used to it, it's going to be a joy. Any person who is used to spending an hour a day with the Lord in prayer, they love it. But it took them 6 months or so to get used to it. It was hard at first. It was boring at first. But ask anyone who prays an hour a day. They love that time. They love it. I love that time. It's my favorite time of the day. Interior, nothing negative. Exterior, surround yourself with everything that is good and beautiful and true, including your friends. I hope your best friends in life are Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, that lift you up, that elevate you, that encourage you, that strengthen you. That's your offense. That's your offense. And once you have your offense in place, kind of the defense takes care of itself. Satan says, ah, dang, There's nothing but protection around this person. I can't get in. I can't get in. But he's going to keep trying. He's not going to go off and try to tempt someone who's already living according to his will, who's already doing what he wants. He says, I don't have to waste time on them. So I'll just keep kind of patrolling around these beautiful Christians that belong to God and are destroying my kingdom and bringing the light into the world. I'll just keep kind of spying on them and always trying to get in. So we're not paranoid, but we're aware. We're aware. And we make sure that we have that great offense in place so that we are true sons and daughters of the Lord. We are ready and we will conquer.